Hi, my name is Jill Beatty. My husband Austin and my children Grant and Audrey, we attend New Life Church. And I have been asked by James Parker to share with you some things that I'm going through at the moment, our family is going through at the moment. So, as we all know, 2020 hit. None of us have been spared from any of the issues that are going on in the world today. So as business owners, we were hit just as hard as everyone else. Then I received some news in early October, some health news on myself. I received a cancer diagnosis in November, but I had an early diagnosis in October. So in early October, I had a very preliminary diagnosis of stage 4 cancer. Nobody knew this. Austin and I were the only ones that knew. That night after the preliminary diagnosis, I sat in the shower and I raised my hands and I said, Lord, this is bigger than me. I'm out of my league. You're going to have to help me. So here I am, completely vulnerable. And I just held up my hands and asked him, Lord, show me a sign. Show me a sign. I need to know you're with me in this. What I didn't know is he was showing, would show me and is still showing me sign after sign after sign. So when I cried out that next Sunday, we went to church and we were standing there during the song service. And Meredith stopped in between before her last song. And she said, somebody in this congregation has had the worst week of their life. Me. 2 days before preliminary stage 4 diagnosis of cancer. So I go to my oncologist, get to the final diagnosis. I find out I do have officially stage 4 colorectal cancer, many, many tumors, many organs, liver, ovaries, colon, lymph nodes. Doctor says it's inoperable. They do a blood test, what's called a foundation study, to see if you're eligible for immunotherapy. Not many people are eligible for immunotherapy, which is supposed to be a treatment that is almost an immediate cure for cancer of many different kinds, but you have to be a genetic match for it. And typically you might be you're not normally a genetic match, but if you are, you're maybe only a genetic match for one. So my doctor, he said, they told me in your labs they didn't have enough tissue sample to do the test. And that they would have to go, I have to go in and have a very painful bone marrow test to get more tissue samples. He said, I have the report right here that says I don't have enough tissue. Now, I'm in the middle of a battle. I'm in the middle of a battle of my life. That I can't deny. This isn't easy. I have been on this journey when I asked the Lord. I had no idea when I raised up my hands and just said, Lord, I'm turning this over to you. I'm out of my league. This is so much bigger than me. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I just left it open and I asked.
Her story's not over, and neither is yours. This morning, I was praying about what do you preach about at the start of 2021. I'm so glad Jim did a funeral for 2020, that we said goodbye last week to that. What do you do now? And I knew Jill's story. I knew many stories in our church body this year that all of us have at some point said, oh my goodness, what just happened? This was unprecedented. All the commercials said it. I used to joke. I think it was required in the middle of 2020 that every commercial had to say unprecedented. We're all in this together and in these trying times. It just had to be in all of them. And so I wanted to look at what happens after the unprecedented. So this morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 20 and 21 together. One of the dangers of asking a guy to preach who hasn't preached in years is that he'll try to make a whole series into one sermon. So you might have to listen quick. I apologize. We'll move through it. But here's what's happening in John chapter 20. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's the first Easter. But it wasn't celebrated that first year quite like we do it now. right? Because now that's our biggest Sunday. We sing our most joyful songs. We get all excited about Jesus being resurrected from the dead and what that means in our lives. But I want you to know that first year, that's not exactly how it happened. Because these followers of Jesus who had followed him, they didn't know what was coming next. They didn't know where they were in the timeline. All they knew is they left everything to follow him, and now he's dead. It's unprecedented. What do I do now? So I want to look first at what the disciples did, how they reacted. Now, understand this, not every example in Scripture is an example for us to follow, right? God gives us the beauty of the stories that are good and bad and that just reflect real life. So I'm not suggesting that all of their responses were good, but I want you to see them and then see how Jesus reacted to them in those situations. The first person we see, the first person who sees the risen Christ is Mary Magdalene. In John chapter 20, verse 1, Mary went back to where she knew Jesus was, and she lingered. She waited there. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, listen to what she says, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." She didn't get it quite right, okay? If she would have put that on Facebook, it might have got fact-checked, right? Because there's some stuff she missed in there. But that's what she saw at that moment. Oh, my goodness, they've taken the Lord away. Hey, have you ever gone to a sporting event or to a concert and either because you couldn't afford better or you got the tickets late, you got a seat with an obstructed view? Maybe it looked something like this. That's if you're lucky. If not, it might have looked something like this next one. All right? You're at the game, but you're not going to know what's happening. Well, that's kind of how Mary was at this point. She had an obstructed view. And what you're going to find all through this passage is that the followers of Jesus, they had an obstructed view. They saw in part, but not in whole. By the way, so do we. By the way, so does that doctor. By the way, so does your spouse. We've got an obstructed view. We see part, but we don't see the whole thing. Verse 11, it says, "But Mary stood outside facing the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus' body had been lying. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you crying?'" They had the better view. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. Obstructed view. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" "Supposing he was the gardener," she replied, "sir, if you've removed him, tell me where you've put him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." One word. He called her by name. All of a sudden, the view cleared up. Turning around, she said to him, "Teacher." And he said, "Don't cling to me, for I've not ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers." By the way, this is the first time Jesus referred to his followers as his brothers. They'd been his disciples. They'd been his followers. But he says, "Go to my brothers." It's a little more personal now. "And tell them that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. By the way, we're about to talk about a couple other guys who came and went in that time frame. So Mary hung around for a while before she saw Jesus. She went to where she knew she last saw him, and she waited for him there. Here's the next guy we see. It's John. John's actually writing this account. And Scripture tells us this about John, that he saw and he believed, but he did not understand. He saw and he believed, but he did not understand. So Mary goes to Peter and to John and tells them that the tomb is it's open. And they come running. And I love this about John, because he feels it's important to let us know that he got there first in the race. Hey, God can use your competitiveness, all right? He says, hey, I got there first. I had to wait on Peter. Peter came. He went in first. Then I came in. And when he came in, he saw and believed. The other disciple, this is in verse 8, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, then entered the tomb, saw and believed, for they still did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went home again. You might have found yourself in that situation this year. You know Jesus, and you love Jesus, and you believe in Jesus, and you know that all his promises in the Word of God are true. But there might have been some moments where you didn't understand. And that's okay. That's okay. There are times that our belief goes beyond our understanding. That's where faith comes in. He saw and he believed, but he didn't understand. The rest of the disciples, their reaction was to hide in fear. Not an unreasonable response, okay? Because the guy that they were known associates of had just been put to death. But they hid in fear. This is still Resurrection Sunday. In the evening of that first day of the week, this is in 2019, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace to you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Really short encounter. But I want you to just picture this for a minute. You're locked. You know the door is locked. All right. I mean, that's kind of the indication here, is they knew the door was locked. I'm sure John's given us an indication, too, of how miraculous it was that Jesus appears in the room. But the door was locked because they were scared. They're fearful. Jesus shows up. How'd that happen? But he shows up. He's in the room. And he says, "Peace to you." Doesn't take very much longer before he says it again. "Peace to you." Jesus knew what they needed. Sometimes we got to hear it more than once. If the only scripture you're getting is this morning, you need more. I just got to tell you, we got to hear again and again from the Word of God. Just picture this. Every day, you might be watching an hour of news. You might be watching three. And then another 4 hours of Facebook. If so, your obstructed view is really bad. You're like that second guy at best. At best. We need to hear the Word of the Lord. We need to hear him say peace. We need that word of authority that we can claim over every situation we find ourselves in. The same word that was proclaimed at his birth is proclaimed at his resurrection, because the reason Jesus came is we need peace. We need peace. There's one of the disciples that was not in the room that day. I don't know why he was not in the room, but Scripture just tells us that he wasn't there, and that's Thomas. Thomas's reaction is to need evidence of what he's heard. Verse 24 says, "But one of the 12, Thomas, called Twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, 'We've seen the Lord.'" It's the same thing Mary said to them. "But he said to them, 'If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" That's a pretty strong statement. "After 8 days, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer.' Thomas responded to him, 'My Lord and my God,'" the first human declaration of his divinity. "Jesus said, 'Because you've seen me, you've believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed.'" Now, we have a nickname for Thomas, right? What do we call him? Doubting Thomas. Why do we call him that? It's not the nickname Jesus gave him. It's not the nickname that the other disciples gave him. I think it's interesting that John actually says his nickname here. We called him Twin. We called him Twin. But you and I have named him after his single greatest failure, his single biggest miss, his obstructed view. Hey, be careful what you nickname each other, and be careful what nicknames you accept for yourself. If we would have nicknamed Simon Peter, we'd have called him Denying Peter. Or maybe we'd have called him Triple Threat. You know what I mean. Let's just make sure we remind him of everything, right? But Jesus called him, no, he didn't call him Denying Peter. He didn't call him by his greatest failure. He called him the rock upon which I'll build my church. It's important you know who Jesus called you. Don't let anyone else nickname you, and don't nickname yourself. Simon Peter is the final one we see that saw Jesus. And here's how Simon Peter reacted. Simon Peter went back to what he knew. Hey, some of y'all this year, you like this guy because you went, "Yeah, I wanted to go fishing too," right? Simon Peter went back to what he had done before Jesus called him. 21, verse 3. "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way." Listen carefully at this. "Simon Peter, Thomas called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples were together. 'I'm going fishing,' Simon Peter said to them." And they said, "We're coming with you." I get it. "They went out and they got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know it was Jesus." Obstructed view. "Men," Jesus called to them, "you don't have any fish, do you?" "No," they answered. "Cast the net on the right side of the boat," he told them, "and you'll find some." At what point in this do you think those guys went, "This is familiar. This has happened before." Not yet. So they did. "And they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. Therefore, the disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, 'It's the Lord. It's the Lord.' And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he gets out of the boat and runs to him." And you know the rest of the story, because when they get to shore, Jesus has cooked up breakfast for them. I kind of like that part of the story. You know, that Jesus knows us so intimately, knows what we need. And so they've been fishing all night. It's been a tough night. They come in, and there's breakfast waiting for them when they get there. And Jesus says to Simon Peter three times. He uses his name each time, by the way. "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" He says, yes, Lord, you know I do. He says, feed my sheep. Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Feed my lambs. Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know that I do. Follow me. Follow me. And Jesus took Simon Peter back to the very first place where he called him to follow, recreated the event to show him he's still called. He's still called. It never went away. It never, when the unprecedented happened, and when he, in his mind, failed, and ours too, that the call didn't go away. Here's what I love about this story. They didn't get it all right. You and I might not have either. We probably didn't, right? But I love the focus on how Jesus reacted. First of all, he came to them, he cared for them, and he called them by name. When they were hidden in fear, when they were so enamored with the circumstance and how bad it was that they didn't even recognize him standing in front of them, he came to them. He called them by name. He created an event that would remind them of when they last encountered him. Isn't God good to us? He pursues us. He chases us down. He brought evidence where it was needed. It was personal. It was personal. Thomas had said, I'll never believe unless this happens and this happens. Jesus shows up in the room. He says, hey, Thomas, come put your hands here. Now, he doesn't brush over the fact that, you know, Thomas probably shouldn't have needed that. These guys he's with, he's walked with them for years. They're reliable witnesses. But he meets Thomas where he's at. He provides him the evidence he needs. And then he says, don't be an unbeliever anymore. Be a believer. Change it next time. He doesn't ignore our sins or our faults. He addresses, restores, forgives. He doesn't leave us there. Jesus also comes and he proclaims peace. He gets the turmoil that's in our lives. He gets the turmoil of living with an obstructed view in a messed up world. And he says, peace to you. Maybe that's the word you need to hear this morning. Peace. Situation doesn't necessarily change, but when Jesus comes in, he proclaims peace in you. Then he empowers and he gives purpose and mission. He tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. He tells Mary, go and tell the brothers. He tells the disciples, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. To Thomas, he says, stop doubting and believe. And to Simon Peter, he says, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, follow me. He brings his peace. He speaks your name. And he calls you to mission. I told you Jill's story wasn't over. I want you to see the rest of it now.
I have a story that I cannot contain the Lord's favor on my life, the Lord's peace, the Lord's joy. So I'm going to title it Ask. I'm going to read a passage. And it's Matthew 7:7. And the Amplified Bible says, ask and ask again. Seek and continue to seek. Knock and continue to knock. So that's what the Lord has spoken to me about, is I just have to ask, seek, and knock. But I have to continue to ask, continue to seek, and continue to knock. So when I cried out that next Sunday, we went to church, and we were sitting there during the song service, and Meredith stopped in between before her last song, and she said, somebody in this congregation has had the worst week of their life. me. She said, but the Lord's telling you he's with you, not to fear. You're going to get through this. I took that for me. Well, the next song she sang was Canvas and Clay. The words that kept going over and over were, he's not finished with me yet. He is not finished with me yet. I took that to heart and completely, and I said, Lord, stage four, you're not finished with me. The next Sunday, Merritt has another word. She said, find your word of authority. Just a word, just one word. And I went, okay, Lord, that's for me. I'm going to find my word of authority. So I am driving out in the middle of Tyler. Well, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, the stations flop back and forth. Well, it kept flipping back and forth. It flipped back to Robert Jeffress for 1 second saying the word temporary. And it flipped back to music. And I went, there's my word of authority. This is temporary. I find out I do have officially stage 4 colorectal cancer. Doctor says it's inoperable. In my mind, Lord turned that around and said, you can't have surgery. He turned it around and said, you don't have to have surgery. He's going to heal me completely. I don't need surgery. I was covered in his peace. I just felt it. Go to the car. I'm holding my folder that they give you. They give you this stack of documents. And I'm holding a folder. I go sit down. And I sit in my car. And right on the Texas Oncology logo, there's a star in the middle. There's a ladybug. It just lands right on that star. The spiritual side of me said, this is a sign from the Lord that says, you're in the right place. You're with the right oncology team. You're in the right center. You don't need a second opinion. You don't need to go chase doctors all over the United States to find the best doctor for the best cure for the worst diagnosis that you can have. You are right where I want you. So, 2 o'clock the next morning, he wakes me up and says, go look up ladybugs. So the Lord does approve of Amazon Prime. He said, I want you to look up and I want you to find a metal ladybug. And I want you to find 6 of them. So he sent me to this. I have 6 ladybugs. They represent my 6 treatments. So I put them in a pile. After each treatment, I move one from the to be done to the done pile. So now my little symbol from the Lord is ladybugs. I have had numerous individuals text me that the ladybug has landed on them, and they'll send me pictures. And it's people who have had cancer, who have beaten cancer in remission. People are inside buildings who have no way for a ladybug to enter a building is on their desk. I've had other people who all these people have been touched by cancer. So to me, that's a winking moment from the Lord that says, my promises are here. My provision is here. Everything is right here. All you need is me. Don't seek out anything else. So I asked for a sign. At this point, it's been about 3 weeks and I've gotten about 10. After my second treatment, which has been, it's now been 5.5 weeks, the doctor called me and said, I have something exciting to tell you. Your cancer tumor markers have dropped 65% in 5 weeks. That's a miracle. And this last week, I got another amazing sign. Not many people are eligible for immunotherapy, which is supposed to be a treatment that is almost an immediate cure for cancer. Dr. barged in, just excited, throwing his hands up, sits down in the chair, raises his feet. He goes, you are a match. You're a match for not just one, but for all of the immunotherapies that are out there. You're a genetic match for every single one of them. I have unimaginable peace and joy in the midst of a stage 4 cancer diagnosis that's inoperable. I'm seeing miracles and signs and wonders. And it all started with just asking. So I don't know what to say other than that God is good. He's there. You just have to ask. Keep on asking. You have to seek. Keep on seeking. You have to knock and keep on knocking. He will answer you in the middle of your crisis. I promise.
Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. By the way, the rest of that testimony will be available on the website and on Facebook later this afternoon or tomorrow. But I got to tell you, I told Jeff Creech, I said, hey, you know, I want you to divide this thing up, and I want you to give me 3 minutes of really bad news, and I want you to give me, and he goes, that's really hard. That's really hard because Jill has her word from the Lord, and so she wants to brag on him much more than she wants to talk about what happened to her. That's what happens. That's what happens when the unprecedented happens in the life of a believer. It looks different. I can't tell you where we're at in the cycle. Just like these guys didn't know, it had turned. This was the good news. This was the great news. They didn't know that yet. Man, I pray that we look back and we go, March 2020 is when the revival started. I don't know when we see it. I can't tell you that next year is going to be better, that this year is going to be better. I don't know. But I do know this. Jesus walks with us through it. He brings peace to us. Here's how we should react. Number one, know who you are. More time in the Word. Hear God's promises over you. Listen for His Word. Ask, keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek to see, believe, and understand. I want to understand the times we're in. I ask God to give me a little bit more light from that flashlight. A little bit more to know and to see what's going on in other people's lives and what He's doing so that I can join Him in that. Receive His peace. You need it. You need it. And so do others around you. And you can't give them what you don't have. Receive His peace and be filled with the Holy Spirit. His desire is to provide both. They're there for the asking. Finally, this. Look for where He is sending you. His comfort and confirmation comes with calling. Tell your story. Go and tell. Father God, we are so grateful for Your grace and Your mercy that's undeserved. God, I thank You that, Lord, at moments of failure, at moments that we're ashamed of, Lord, that You come to us, You call us by name, You forgive us, You empower us, and You send us out. Lord, I thank You that we don't face any situation alone, that You're with us. So God, I pray for our body. I pray for those that are listening this morning that they would experience Your peace that passes all understanding today and going forward. Lord, they would look to You. Lord, they'd realize as they see situations around them, they've got an obstructed view. Lord, I pray that we would be good ambassadors for You in this world. And we would be those who bring good news and who bring peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? This is a simple message. It's Jesus, right? But sometimes those are hard to live out. And sometimes you need someone to walk with you through some of the stuff that you're going through. You might need someone to seek God for a word with you. You might need someone to call. They may need to call you every day and go, peace to you. I just wanted to remind you. And so we'll have a ministry team here this morning that's available to you. If you're watching online, we've got a prayer team that's available. There's a phone number on your screen that you can call and someone can walk with you. We're separate enough right now. Don't walk alone. Amen? The church is here for you. The body of Christ is here for you. As we close, I just want to say this blessing over you. Pastor Jim does this every week. By the way, Pastor Jim, preaching at Robeson and then coming here, man, that's some work, let me tell you. let me tell you, thank you for doing that every week for us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, thank you for joining us this morning.